Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton. Welcome to those of you who are watching this at home. It's still Easter. We are still celebrating. This is the second Sunday in Easter, and we continue to rejoice that our Savior rose from the dead, and that, of course, gives us hope that we will one day rise too. And today is a very special day where we get to connect the service to the resurrection, because in the beginning of our service, we're going to have baptism. In fact, we're going to have three baptisms this morning, and baptism is one of those things that connects us to the resurrection of Jesus. And so the newest Brahmeyer boys, we've got Jace, we've got Keegan, and we've got Logan. We are so excited that you're here today and that you're going to be baptized in our service this morning. And we're going to follow Divine Service Setting 1, but if you want to kind of place a marker or your finger on the Holy Baptism Liturgy to follow along there, that will begin on page 268. The rest of the liturgy will begin on page 151. And so with that, I'll invite you to stand as we begin our worship this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake has forgiven you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and at this time, I'm going to invite Jace, and Keegan, and Logan, and your parents and sponsors to join me all up here. I'll just form up. Okay, I think we all made it up here. That's good. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How are you named? Jace, Ray, Nathaniel, Brahmeyer, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And how are you named? Hegan William Brahmeyer, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And how are you named? Logan Andrew Brahmeyer, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Jace, Keegan, and Logan according to your boundless mercy, and bless them with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in them, which has been inherited from Adam and which they themselves have committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that they be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, they would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. And so I think I've got all this written down here. So Jace, your godparents are going to be Treva, Carrie, and Sam. And Keegan, your godparents will be Michaela, Emily, and Jill. And Logan, it will be Alex, Jill, and Carrie. Do I have that all right? Okay, good. And so for all of you up here, having heard those important responsibilities, I now ask you, is it your intention to serve Jace, Keegan, and Logan and support them in the Christian faith? If so, then say yes with the help of God. God enable you to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace, fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let's join together in speaking the words of the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. All right, we're going to come on up here to the font. Come on up here, boys. Now, before we have the actual baptizing, I do have a few questions for all three of you, okay? Jace, Keegan, and Logan, do you renounce the devil? If so, say, yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works? If so, say, yes, I renounce them. Do you renounce all his ways? If so, say, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, say, yes, I believe. Jace, Keegan, and Logan, do you desire to be baptized today? If so, say, yes, I do. Okay. We'll go one at a time. Jace, you get to go first. You want to take your glasses off? There you go. Okay. Jace, Ray, Nathaniel, Brahmeyer, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There you go, bud. Okay, Keegan, you're next. Keegan, William, Brahmeyer, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Last but not least, Logan. Logan, Andrew, Brahmeyer, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Okay, now we have the dangerous part where we hand you boys some fire. Jace, I'm going to give you that one. There you go. Okay. Keegan? Okay. Be careful with that. Receive these burning lights to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. I encourage you to keep those candles in a safe place and light them every year on April 24th to remember your baptismal birthday. One of the ancient understandings of baptism in the history of the church is that when a person is baptized, they receive a new name from the Lord. God places his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, upon our hearts in baptism. And so because of that, it's also been a tradition in the history of the church that on a baptismal day, that's when you recognize the significance of a person's given name. And so I had three names to look up this time. The name Jace comes from Greek, actually. It kind of started out as a shortened version of the name Jason. I know that's not your name, but it comes from the same word in Greek, which means heal or healer, something like that. And, you know, I love that because that's exactly what God does for us in a spiritual way in baptism. He heals us from all of the things that harm us because of sin. So we give thanks to God for that. The name Keegan is an Irish name. started out as a last name originally, but it started to become popular as a first name too, and it's got a really cool meaning. It means son of fire, which is great. You know, a lot of times in the church, we actually associate fire with the Holy Spirit. And so we give thanks that the Holy Spirit has come upon you in baptism and makes you truly a son of fire in that way. And the name Logan is Scottish. And so it started out as a last name too, but the meaning of Logan actually has a lot more to do with where the Logan families would live. It kind of means like a little hollow. And so you picture like a beautiful, peaceful place with, you know, lots of trees and water and stuff like that. I mean, honestly, kind of like where you're living now, like a really peaceful place. And what's better even than that is in baptism, God promises you that someday you're going to live in the most peaceful place ever. You're going to be in his heavenly kingdom with him. So we give thanks for that. I'm going to invite our elder Al to share a welcome on behalf of the congregation.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Jace, Keegan, and Logan, members of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs with us of all the treasures of heaven in one holy Christian church and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brothers in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim his praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. And let's welcome these boys with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Jace, Keegan, and Logan the new birth and holy baptism and made them members of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as they have now become your children, you would keep them in their baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, they may faithfully grow to lead godly lives to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. And peace be with you. Amen. Okay, you can all return to your seats. You can extinguish those candles. And the congregation is going to now sing our baptismal hymn, which is number 601, All Who Believe and Are Baptized. Please stand. We'll now continue with the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of your bulletin. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Glory in his holy name. Seek the Lord and his strength. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. He remembers his covenant forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy. You alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our first reading appointed for the second Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Since we had the creed included in the baptismal liturgy portion of our service, we are going to omit the creed at this time And instead, we will now continue with our children's message. I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning.
It takes so long to say, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. So, well, I want to also say this. Do you know how to respond to this one? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. That's right. We are still celebrating Easter. Hope you all had a great Easter. And thank you to those of you who just sang. You did a wonderful job. We really appreciate that. And isn't it awesome that we got to see not one, not two, but three baptisms this morning? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's something you don't see every day, is it? So I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about what I've been thinking about ever since we had Easter last Sunday. You know, it's a pretty busy time for pastors when you got Lent and extra services and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday and just all the things that are going on. But now that we are past Easter Sunday, I've been thinking a lot about what's coming up a little bit later. Maybe some of the things that I hadn't been thinking about when I was busy with other stuff. And I noticed how warm it is outside. Have you guys noticed how warm it is? You get to spend some time outside this weekend. Yeah, so it's really nice. We're getting ready for summer, right, Logan? Yeah, we're getting ready for summer. So just thinking about how maybe this summer we might all be taking different trips and vacations. Maybe not all of us, but maybe a few of us will be traveling, maybe outside of the state of Illinois, maybe. Maybe you're going to be going somewhere far away. Who knows? We were starting to think about our travel plans. Well, one of the big things that's going to happen for me and for our high school youth this summer is we are going to go all the way down to the state of Texas. We are going to the city of Houston for our national youth gathering. And someday when you guys are in high school, if you want to come with us to a youth gathering trip, you guys can do that too someday. But we are getting ready for that trip, except here's one thing I know because I used to live in Texas. I know that in July, Texas is really what?
Hot.
Really hot. That's right. Yeah. So thinking about that, figuring out how I'm going to deal with the heat since I'm not used to it anymore and what kinds of things that are going to be maybe difficult about that trip. But at the same time, whenever I get a chance to go back to Texas, since I used to live there, I also start thinking about some of the things that I miss about living in Texas, some of the things that I really liked in Texas. Last year, our family had to go to Texas for a wedding in the summer, and I don't know if Zoe remembers this, but when I told Zoe, because Zoe was born in Texas, when I told Zoe that we were going to go back to Texas for that wedding, do you remember one of the first things you told me you were excited about?
Buc-ee's,
that's right. Okay, so I brought something with me here, and I'll talk about this bag in a second, but this guy, can you see him? This is Buc-ee. Yeah, this is Buc-ee. Now, Buc-ee doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people up here in Illinois, but Bucky is a special Texan treat. Bucky actually comes from a truck stop, like a place where you go get your gas when you're driving on the road in Texas. Can you believe that? They actually have a mascot down there for the gas station. Isn't that amazing? So Bucky's is a really, really cool place. It's not just a place where you can get gas, which it's huge. They have like 100 different gas pumps down there. But and everything's bigger in Texas anyway. But you know, you go in the store and there's all these things you can buy. There's clothes, there's delicious food. They have the cleanest bathrooms ever. I mean, it's like the most amazing truck stop ever. And so there's a statue of Bucky outside. And every time we go to Bucky's, we got to give Bucky a high five and give him a hug and take a picture. So we bought this stuffed Bucky. And so we brought him home. And that reminds us of Texas, right? And I'm taking the youth group to Bucky's this summer. That is the plan. Something else I really miss. You guys know what this place is? Whataburger. Yeah, this was like my favorite fast food place in Texas. And I know there's Whataburgers outside of Texas now, but it all started in Texas, and most of the Whataburgers are in Texas. And there really aren't any close enough to us where we can get there. But I really miss Whataburger. And that's one of the things that I look forward to when I go down to Texas. But here's the thing, you guys. When we take trips to Texas as a family, yeah, we might be excited about Bucky's, and we might be excited about Whataburger, but those trips really aren't about that stuff, is it? Right? Like last year, it was about being at a wedding for our close friends. And this year, it's about even something greater than that. It's about worshiping Jesus together with thousands of high school kids from all over the country. Right? So when we plan the trip, it's important, even though there are things that we might look forward to, it's important to remember what the main thing is. Today, in the first reading we had from the book of Acts, we heard about Peter. These are in the days after Jesus had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, and now Peter and all of the other disciples are continuing to do this ministry that Jesus gave to them to do. And that means they're preaching to lots of people about Jesus. But another one of the amazing thing that was happening was they actually could heal people who were sick and people who were injured, just like Jesus did when he was walking around in Galilee, which is pretty amazing. But there were these huge crowds that were showing up. And I think you can tell from what you read in that passage that a lot of those people really didn't even know who Jesus is, and maybe they didn't even care. What they were really most excited about was getting healed. And you know what? The healing is a good thing, and chasing after Peter's shadow, they actually thought that if Peter's shadow landed on them, then they would be healed. All of those things are great things, and they're blessings from God. But what's the most important thing about what Peter was doing? He was preaching about who? Jesus, right? He was telling the people who Jesus was, that Jesus was the Messiah that had been promised, that he was our Savior, that he died on the cross, that he rose again. And that is the most important thing. All the other things are nice, but it's more like Bucky's and Whataburger. That's not the reason why you hear what Peter has to say. You hear what Peter has to say so you can learn about who your Savior is. So here's a really important question for us to ask ourselves today. What is it that you like about being a part of this church and school here at Trinity? What are some things that you like? Yeah. You like to play, okay. Okay, learning a lot about God, that's the most important thing. What are some other things?
Learning about the Holy Spirit.
Learning about the Holy Spirit, good.
Running.
What's that?
Running.
Running?
Learning.
Learning, okay, good, learning. We do a lot of learning, right? We don't just learn about the Bible in our school, we learn about math and science and social studies, and we learn language arts. Anybody like recess? Right? Yeah. Right? So there's lots of things to like about our church and about our school. The most important thing is what you guys talked about, learning about Jesus, worshiping Jesus, right? Knowing who your Savior is and trusting in Him. All of those other things are great, but the most important thing is Jesus. So I think that's what we really need to focus on. So let's say a prayer and let's ask God to help us focus on His Son, Jesus. You guys can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank You for making us a part of Your church. Help us to focus on the cross of Jesus and His resurrection. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming up today. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And we are going to turn to our sermon hymn, which is number 644, The Church's One Foundation. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is that first reading from Acts chapter 5 that I was just discussing with the children. This passage which helps us to see the things that were going on right after Jesus' ascension and then, of course, the day of Pentecost. And now here you have the apostles continuing this ministry, And there's a lot of signs and wonders, there's miracles, there's healings, but there's also a big giant crowd that's getting really excited about all of this and probably trying to figure out how they can personally benefit from it. And so they end up chasing Peter's shadow around at one point in our text. But of course, Peter and the rest of the apostles, their ministry was all focused on Christ crucified and risen for sinners. And 2,000 years later, that's what it's all about even now. We don't just chase the shadow, but instead we focus on the actual source of the light, and that's Jesus himself. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, picture this scene, okay? It was Easter, so like this time of year, but exactly 10 years ago, so Easter 2012, when all of a sudden, seemingly overnight, there were thousands of people who descended upon the city of New Orleans, Louisiana, to visit a very prominent Roman Catholic shrine down there, which goes by the name of Our Lady of Prompt Succor, which is like a fancy churchy way of saying quick help. So it'd be like Our Lady of Quick Help. It's a shrine that is in the big city, but it's not a very big operation. It's really kind of small and humble. It's run by like five nuns who live there. But it's on the campus of what is now the longest running all-girls boarding school in the United States, which actually goes back, believe it or not, to the 1700s, back when the French Catholics were first settling in that area, way before like the Louisiana Purchase, and even before that area became part of the United States. They established that school, and it is still running to this day. So this is a place that is used to having a lot of visitors. You know, there's tourists that come from all over just to learn more about the history of the area. But there's also, you know, the occasional Roman Catholic visitor to New Orleans that decides to go and worship in this shrine while they're there visiting. So they're used to having lots of visitors, but they had never seen anything like what they saw Easter 2012, 10 years ago. And the reason was, what was going on at the time, there was a story that started to make its way around the internet, primarily via social media, where a student in that school had been worshiping in the shrine, and she claimed to receive a sign, a very special sign from God. The way that the story went, the head nun there, her name was Sister Carla at the time, she told all these different news outlets that basically this young student, she was going through some really difficult stuff in her life, some really just dark and scary kind of stuff. And so she decided to go into the shrine and pray and just ask the Lord for a sign. And of course, as the story goes, she opens her eyes after that prayer and she looks up and she sees the sign that she had asked for. And the sign was on this pillar. There were these pillars up near the altar, up in the front, on the left-hand side, down toward the bottom of the pillar. She saw what she thought was the face of her Lord Jesus Christ. It was like uncanny. It was clearly a man's face. He's got a beard. There's something going on up here that looks like a crown of thorns. It looks like the eyes are focused right upon the altar. It was, in her mind, a miracle. And she told everybody, and it ended up on the internet, and people started going crazy for this sign. As it turns out, it was actually just a shadow. There was a chandelier up like right above their chancel area. There was some light that would come in through the window and it would hit that chandelier and it would cause this shadow to appear on that pillar, which just so happened to look like the face of Jesus. Nobody apparently had noticed it before, but this little girl did. So it's not exactly a miracle per se, and it's something that's very easily explainable, but it didn't stop literally thousands of people from traveling to just go look at this shadow. I mean, pilgrims standing in line for hours just to get a glimpse of the amazing shadow. I was reading quotes from people who had made that trip at the time. Some of the things they were saying, that this this image of Jesus on this pillar is clearly proof that God cares about us. Clearly God loves us because he showed us this sign. There was one lady who said that she was not a Christian before, but she walked into that shrine, saw the amazing shadow, and all of a sudden is now a believer. Which I hope that that's true for her sake. But I got to tell you, when I read stories like this, I can't help but think that, man, this is probably one of these situations where somebody's trying to use God's name and God's image to try to make some money. And I'm sorry, call me cynical if you want, but we've seen this before. There was the lady that thought that she saw the Virgin Mary in her grilled cheese sandwich. And what did she do? Remember this story? She sold it on eBay for thousands of dollars. People do these kinds of things. At the end of the day, a shadow on a pillar that kind of looks like Jesus, that might remind somebody who their Savior is, especially in Easter, in Holy Week, that time of the year, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think we all know that's not where the Lord has promised to be for us, right? Where God has promised to come to us, where we as Christians look for Jesus, is in things like his word, in things like baptism, the Lord's Supper. That's where Jesus is. We don't look for him in these signs and shadows. Now, picture another scene, and this will be the one that we read about in Acts chapter 5. We get to spend some time during the Easter season thinking about the things that happened immediately after Jesus had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. And now here's the disciples, and they're starting this, you know, baby early church. So we get to read about the things that were happening in those days. What we find out in this text in Acts chapter 5 is that the apostles are still in Jerusalem, and the ministry that they are conducting there is starting to look a lot like the ministry of Jesus from when he was in Galilee. So you see things like in verse 12, how now it's the apostles who are performing signs and wonders just like Jesus did. It's the apostles who are healing the sick just like Jesus did. It's the apostles who are now driving out demons from people who are possessed just like Jesus did. For anybody who had known what Jesus's ministry was like, they would have seen this as clearly a continuation of that ministry, and that's a really good thing. I'm sure it actually brought a lot of comfort to the apostles, especially when they started to experience opposition and persecution for the things that they were called by God to do. We see that even in this text, toward the end of the passage. What happens to them? They get thrown into jail. What a blessing it is to know that God is still on your side, that he still cares for you, that you absolutely have nothing to fear, even though you may be experiencing some really difficult stuff. That must have been great. Those are all the good things about this. But along with the things that are just like Jesus' ministry, you also end up with the popularity of it all. The popularity of these teachings, but most especially the popularity of these healings and miracles, where now all of a sudden the crowd is working themselves up into a frenzy over this because they all want a piece of it, right? They all want to benefit in some way from what the disciples are able to do. Just like in Jesus' day, not everybody in that crowd would have been a true believer. Some of them probably had no idea who Jesus was or what these apostles' connection to him was, and they probably didn't care that much as long as they were the ones who were going to be healed or potentially healed. And so you start to see this crowd do some interesting, kind of funny things, kind of like this crowd that was in New Orleans 10 years ago, right? You've got these people who are chasing a shadow. Literally, in this text, they are chasing Peter's shadow. So Peter, at this point, is the leader of the apostles, and they're treating him in sort of a superstitious way. They're making it all about him. This text tells us that as Peter is making his way from one place to the next, they are following him, putting out all of these sick people on mats and cots all around, and presumably all just on one side of the road, because they want possibly for his shadow to pass over them. So if the sun is setting, you know, in the west, then they might be on the east side of the road so that maybe as the sun goes down, maybe, just maybe, that shadow will fall on them and maybe that will heal them. St. Luke, who actually is the one who wrote the book of Acts and is telling us this story here in Acts 5, he doesn't actually give us all the details that maybe we would want. We don't really know just from this passage alone that the people who had Peter's shadow fall on them, if they were actually healed or not, or if this was just more of a superstitious thing. It's not really clear in this text, but that's not really the point. The point is there are people who are in that crowd and maybe for the wrong reason. That they, just like the crowd in New Orleans 10 years ago, were a little bit distracted from what the main point was. It was great that a crowd of people wanted to go to church on Easter, right, down at that shrine. But the main focus should have been on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like 2,000 years ago, it's great for people to want to experience the ministry of Peter and the apostles, but not because it's all about them, and not even because of the miraculous healings. But it should have been more about the one that Peter was preaching about. It should have been the one who actually can heal us, not just in a physical way, but spiritually too, for all eternity, Jesus Christ himself. So all of that being said, I'm going to ask you the same question that I just asked the kids. Essentially, why are you here? Why are you part of the crowd? Or if you're watching this at home, what made it so that this hour on Sunday morning is worth the time? And yeah, we may not have the same size of a crowd that Peter would have had or that they would have had down in New Orleans 10 years ago, but there's a significant number of you here. So it's a really good question for us to ask. What is it that got you out of your house today? Is it just because it's part of your routine, right? It's Sunday morning, so we get up and we go to church, and we've been doing that, and that's just part of what we do. Is it because you needed to get your kid here for the children's choir to sing? Is that why you're here? Are you here because you wanted to witness the spectacle of these three baptisms in one service? Is that why you're here? Is it because you hear that the preacher in Hoyleton likes to tell stories about his kids sometimes, and that's kind of funny, so that's why you're here? Right? I mean, what is it? What is the reason? All of those things, you know, none of them are necessarily bad in and of themselves. It's just that we know that's not the essence of what being the church is. All of those things make up what I would call the church's shadow, which is a comfortable place to be, you know, especially, you know, when you're out in the sun, it's good to have some shade. It's good to live in the shadow. But in order for the shadow to exist in the first place, you have to have light shining upon something tangible and real. That's what will cast the shadow. So if we're going to talk about our church here, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Hoyleton, Illinois, there's a lot of things to like about being a part of this place. Just like the kids were saying, it's a wonderful place to be. But in order for these blessings to be experienced by us, first and foremost, it needs to be God who is shining his light through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the light of Easter which even allows us in the first place to dwell in that comfortable church's shadow. One of the things that I like to say to people when they ask me how life and ministry is going in Hoyleton, I always make this joke and I say, well, you know, it's always sunny in Hoyleton. It's always sunny in Hoyleton. And people chuckle because obviously that's not literally true, right? We have cloudy days, we have rainy days. But the thing is, we know that no matter what the weather is doing, that it's the light of God that is always shining upon us. And so we can say without any hesitation, yeah, it is. It's always sunny in Hoyleton. And you know what? We have a really good opportunity at this time of the year to be reminded of that. Because if you look right over there, we have a really tall Paschal candle, Easter candle. It's a resurrection candle. And it's this time of the year where we make our acolytes light it. During the Easter season is one of the primary times we see that candle lit. But actually, today it's a double whammy because we also light it for every baptism. And so even when it's not the Easter season, if we're having a baptism, you're going to see that candle lit because it's a reminder of the light that shines within us because of the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that we are connected to the resurrection of Christ through that baptism. The other time that we always light that candle is for every funeral. Because even on those days when we are confronting death and we are surrounded with those clouds and that darkness, we know that the light of Christ shines through even those days. That is the actual answer to the question, why are you here? Why do you want to be part of that crowd? It's because of that light of Christ. It's not because of all the fancy other things, the signs and the wonders, the shadows on the pillar, the grilled cheese sandwich. It's not any of those other things. It's so that the light of Christ will shine upon us to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to fill us with hope. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a couple updates for you in our prayer list today. These are names that we're going to be adding here. First of all, I wanted to mention that Doug Nelson is recovering from surgery. He had surgery Friday to remove a kidney stone. Everything is going well. Thanks be to God. We are also going to be praying for Norma Mashoff. She has recently gone to the hospital in Centralia. She's dealing with a number of things, dehydration, pneumonia, and fighting an infection. So she'll need some prayer over these next few days. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Glorious Lord, you have worked the salvation of the world through the death and resurrection of your Son. Give strength to our praise and let our hearts and mouths be filled with the joy of your wondrous works. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God Almighty, you stoke the fires of your churches as lights in the darkness of this world. As we gather in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, comfort and embolden your holy ones to serve in your presence and to cherish the words you have written to your churches. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry around the world, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son visited disciples hiding away for fear of the Jews, as well as John when he was exiled by the Romans to Patmos. Sustain all your disciples in the throes of persecution. Visit them with your Easter gospel and give them their portion in the resurrection unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, you have added believers to the Lord Jesus in all times and places, from those receptive and hostile alike. Shepherd the nations and bring all peoples to embrace the gospel of the resurrected Christ. Curb wicked rulers and break their power that all would be brought to the feet of Jesus in worship. Once again, we ask you to bring peace to those who are experiencing war and bloodshed in Ukraine and throughout the world. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have given us many blessings, and we rejoice that you have shown us your grace and favor. We especially praise your name for those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Grant, Dolores, Wayne, Chance, Sam, Mabry, Rodney, Hannah, Levi, and Laverne. We also thank you for the gifts of marriage and family. We ask you to bless all those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Gary and Marilyn Sudmeyer. And once again, we give you thanks for welcoming all of us into your church family through holy baptism, but especially Jace, Keegan, and Logan. Help them to grow in their faith and grow closer to you each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. O great physician, through the apostles, you brought healing to the afflicted people of Jerusalem. As we rest under the shadow of your wings, heal your afflicted servants, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Don, Richard, Carlene, Helen, Jim, Bessie, Brian, and Paula. We lift before you all those who are recovering from recent surgeries, especially Wayne, Kenny, and Doug. We also ask you to be with Norma as she is now hospitalized, and we ask that you would be with all of her doctors and nurses and help them to take care of her. We also ask you to be with those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Daryl, Joan, Amy, Elaine, Rebecca, Beulah, Connie, Carolyn, Doug, Millie, Bradley, Wayne, Andrea, Joe, Linda, Missy, Chris, Imogen, Sam, and all those who are fighting cancer, that they would rejoice in your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your gifts to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for the past 175 years. Chiefly do we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who alone is our salvation. By his death you have atoned for our sins, by his resurrection you have justified us, and by his word and Holy Spirit you have brought the gospel of peace to us. We give thanks that for 175 years in the congregations of our synod, you have richly and daily forgiven the sins of believers. Lord, in your mercy, we implore you, O Lord, to sanctify and keep the congregations, schools, and organizations of our synod together with all our people in the truth. Your word is truth. Preserve us from false teaching. Bring us to repentance for every place where love or zeal has faltered. Grant us and our children bold and steadfast hearts to remain faithful to this confession and church, suffering all rather than to fall away from it. And unite us with all Christians in a true confession of Jesus Christ, in whom the world has redemption, the forgiveness of sins. To you alone be all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We now sing together the words of the offertory on the bottom of page 159. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. And the closing hymn today is number 475, Good Christian Friends, Rejoice and Sing. Good morning. Well, we are past Easter, but there are a number of things that are still happening around here that we need to let you know about. First of all, thank you again to our children's choir. Thank you, parents, for bringing them here and being on time. We really appreciate that. What a great thing to have them singing in our service today. Also, talking about things that adorn our worship, we have lilies, Easter lilies behind me. Thank you to those of you who brought some lilies to put on the altar. If you have one of them up here that you would like to take home with you, today is the day to do that. So please come and grab one of these and take it home with you today. A few things going on tonight. Finance Board is meeting this evening at 6 o'clock. We also have YPS for and Club 58, so Youth Night for all of our YPS and Club 58 folks, if you could be there at 6 o'clock tonight. Men's Choir is getting ready for next Sunday, so we're going to rehearse this evening at 7 o'clock. I don't know if this is on your radar or not, but we will have a quarterly voters meeting, and that will take place tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, right here in the sanctuary. We would love for all of our voters to be present at that meeting. And for your convenience, the agenda is printed in the bulletin today, so you can take a look at that. If you have a report to submit for that meeting, if you please get that to Jane by noon tomorrow, we would really appreciate that. There will be a PTL meeting Tuesday night at 6:30. We'll have mixed choir practice and women's Bible study both on Wednesday night. Letting you know, this coming weekend, next Saturday, is going to be the LWML Zone Spring Prayer Service and Rally. That's going to be here. We're hosting it in Hoyleton this time. So registration begins at 8:30 on Saturday morning for that, and the actual program begins at 9. Also, a couple of the things related to LWML, we have the mother-daughter and or guest banquet coming up. That'll be Tuesday night, May 3rd. That'll be at 6:30 p.m. So we hope that the ladies can make it to that. And I mentioned this in the prayers, but this is the 175th anniversary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is absolutely amazing. I believe the actual day is Tuesday. St. John's New Minden is a charter member congregation of the Synod, so they are as old as the Synod is. They are celebrating their 175th anniversary, and that's going to be happening this afternoon. They've got a big hymn festival scheduled, and there's a blurb about that in the bulletin today. We've got lots of area pastors coming, and I'm going to participate in that service as well, just sharing about different hymns of the church that we sing and have sung over the years, and what a blessing that is. And so I know Pastor Neville is going to take one of the turns as well this afternoon. So all of that begins with an organ recital at 2:30, and then the actual hymn festival begins at 3. So if you can make it to New Minden this afternoon, it would be a wonderful celebration there. I'm going to invite our school principal, Mr. John Schaub. It is the fourth Sunday of the month, so he gets to do his school minute.
Good morning. And on the way up here, I heard a lot of grumblings in the stomach, so I'll try to make this quick. So this is the school minute. And first of all, thank you, Mrs. Tiemann, for directing our 3rd through 8th grade choir. And thank you, 3rd through 8th graders, for singing with us and for us. I would like to remind you quickly, our theme is Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And we are nearing the end of our school year, my first year here at Trinity, and he has been graciously holding all things together. A few things I want to update you on. It's field trip season coming up. Here are a few of the places our students will be headed. The St. Louis Zoo, the Children's Museum in Edwardsville, Grant's Farm, and our 7th and 8th graders will take a tour of St. Louis, including the seminary and a stop at Ted Drew's. So they can look forward to that. We have been searching for a school janitor, and we found one. And the Board of Ed has hired Kristen Brannon to be our janitor, and she will start the first week of May. We are very grateful for Caitlin for doing it in the past years. It's a lot of work taking care of one school, a lot of mopping. So we thank and praise the Lord for Caitlin for doing that. So thank you for that. Track season is going well. Pastor, can you come up here? I know I didn't prepare you, but track season, we've been blessed with a wonderful track team, eager young ladies and gentlemen. And I just wanted to share just one thing to kind of make it real. We had a student do the long jump, and...
Grab this, please.
Okay.
This way. Keep going. There we go. All right, stop there. This is how far, 14 feet and 3 inches, that Jace Brammeyer right here jumped. That's a long way.
Whoa.
Thank you. You know, you hear these numbers, and I measured it out, and I, good grief, that boy is flying. So so praise the Lord for that. And again, I can measure all the how high we've jumped and things like that, but we don't have that much time. So a couple things coming up. May 5th is National Day of Prayer, and our school will be celebrating that with different times that we'll take out of the school day to pray for our church, our country, and many other things. Also, May 5th, some of you may know it as Cinco de Mayo, but is our Fine Arts Night, and that is 6 p.m. in the Activity Center. You will see artwork displayed, and there'll be singing and maybe some skits. Then, as our school year wraps up, we have on May 19th our Field Day, which will be doing some activities in the afternoon, and Pastor Wallenberg's famous Wallenburgers will be cooked up that day. And the last day of school is May 20th, and we will have a closing chapel. And then 8th grade graduation is the 29th. Now, the last thing I'd like to close with, as if the school minute, you've been timing me. I'm getting hungry, too. But a couple months ago, after chapel, I've never had this happen to me, a young lady from 2nd grade came up to me. Most of the students were gone, and she said, Mr. Schaff, I want to be baptized. And I'm thinking, wow, I've never had that happen. So after talking to pastor and her family and things of that nature, on April 6th, Melody Garrison was baptized in chapel here. And that is an amazing blessing as they hear the word of the Lord and he creates faith. And in fact, talking with Mrs. Kester, our second grade teacher, we've had Melody baptized. Logan was baptized today, a second grader, and we also had Ariel Shikuski. So we had 3 second graders baptized just this one year. So we praise and thank the Lord for that. Thank you again for your prayers and for your support, and Lord's blessings on your day.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff. Just one other really important announcement. Looking ahead to the summer, Vacation Bible School is coming. And that's going to be happening in June. There's a little flyer in the bulletin about that. You can point your browser to that website that's listed there, and you can register now already. I'm going to try to make it a priority to get that pinned to our Facebook page, too. So look for that coming up soon. We wanted to give you an opportunity today. If you would like to help us with VBS, let us know about if you're interested in volunteering. But also, one of the things that we'd like to do is try to defray the cost of it a little bit. And so the ushers are going to be in the back with the baskets, and we're going to take a door collection today. If any of you are interested in helping with Vacation Bible School, financially speaking, we would really appreciate that. That just helps keep the cost down for everybody, makes it possible for us to get the kids T-shirts and all of that good stuff. So thank you for your consideration there. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, I hear you. So have a great rest of your day. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.